You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to start there and see where we wind up. This is something I've ministered on before, but it's something stirring inside of me. Perspective, the way we look at things, working on our spiritual eyesight. You know, so when you go into a situation, the way you look at a situation doesn't necessarily change it, but it sure changes what you get out of it. You know, I know Mikhail, our granddaughter Mikhail, loves those I Spy books. You know, I think actually Ryan likes them and he gets them for Mikhail. Kind of like how we watch those kid movies, you know, and we do it by getting our grandkids to go with us. And that's all, you know, makes it look okay because, you know, anybody know we're actually going to watch those kid movies. But anyway, the I Spy books are real simple. You open it up and they're designed in such a way, you know, where there's just a lot of stuff in there. And they ask you a question, where is this or where is that? And you have to go look for it to find it. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen similar puzzles. What was that one? Waldo. Yeah, where's Waldo was another one. And the way you look at the picture determines what you're going to get out of the picture. In fact, you can completely miss it if you're not looking for whatever it is or one you look for. Well, you're looking for Waldo or one of those other objects. I think life's that way. I think a lot of times in life, we miss out on what God's doing because we're not looking for what God's doing. We miss out on the moving of His Spirit. He's moving all the time. Don't you think He's not? Don't you think God's not around? He's not doing some things. But we're missing out because we're just oblivious to it. We're not even looking for it. So the way we look at a situation, it may not change the situation, but the way we look at it sure will change us. It'll determine what we get out of it. Amen? If all we see is the natural, you know what? That's all we're going to get out of it. But if we can see beyond the natural, see differently, look differently, develop our spiritual eyesight. You know, the Bible says walk by faith, not by sight. That's actually the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that. That's a different way of walking. There's two ways to walk. You can walk in the flesh, you can walk in the spirit. You can walk in doubt or you can walk in faith. And everybody has doubts. It's just what you major on. In other words, don't develop your negatives. To be punny there, a good truth there. Develop your positives, amen? Yeah. So here in 2 Corinthians 4, this is Paul is talking about a perspective. He's talking about how the natural is a passing thing. In fact, he says the outward man perisheth. The 4th chapter, 16th verse, the inward man's renewed day by day. That's one way of looking at it. We're not getting older. We're getting younger. We're getting stronger. We're getting more confident. We're getting more built up on the inside. Oh, the body may be decaying and getting older, but we're on the inside, we're getting younger. We're renewed day by day by day. We're going into glory. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And then he says in the 18th verse here, real familiar scripture. I mean, I've quoted this thing often. 2 Corinthians 4, it wouldn't help if I was in the right book, 18th verse, says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, that is, you know, when you read that, you go, whoa, Paul's losing it here. Much learning hath made him mad. That's what King Agrippa said about it, or Felix. If you don't look at things that are seen, what do you look at? I mean, what do you mean? There's things out here, and I see them. I got these feelings, I feel them. This mountain's out here on my horizon, it's there, I can't deny it's there. I mean, we're not Christian scientists, that's not what he's saying. We're not denying the reality of these things. He's just saying we're looking at something else. So what else is there to look at? Well, obviously there's more than what we see to look at. So he's not just talking about looking at something differently. He's talking about looking another way of seeing. If all you do is see what you see, then all you're going to get is what you see. But you need to develop the ability to see what you don't see. Boy, does that make sense? There's a lot out there you don't see. And you need to learn to see what you don't see. That's right. There's another way of looking, spiritual way of looking. And he's saying here, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, or temporal, King James says, temporary, New King James. They're not eternal. They're mortal. They don't last. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wow. What's the most solid, most concrete thing out there? Not this. Not what you feel. No. This is not the most eternal, concrete thing. The reality, the concrete reality, eternal reality, those truths are in the spirit. They're not in the natural. There's a whole lot more than what we see here. There's what we don't see. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen, they are eternal. So what Paul's saying is here that there's two ways of looking at things. Everybody say two ways of looking at things. And if you go through the scripture, there's several ways you can look at things, look at people, look at Jesus. And it's very important how you see things. You're not so much going to change what is or what is real. The reality of God's not going to be changed by your faith or by your unbelief. Your unbelief won't make the faith of God none effect. You not believing in healing won't unmake God. It won't make Him not a healer. Well, I'll get rhetorically and dialectically tied up here in a minute. But your not believing in God as a healer doesn't make Him someone that makes you sick. He is a healer, whether you believe or whether you don't believe. So what does seeing differently do? It changes the outcome for me. Yeah. Isn't that right? I mean, if I were to walk through the woods, you know, if I was a deer hunter, and I do, you know, I have been known to hunt deer, and walking through the woods, you see trees, you know, as you're walking through woods, and if you're scouting out places to hunt deer, you do more than look at trees. You look at smaller trees. You look for scrapes and rubs on the trees and scrapes on the ground. You start looking at the ground for tracks. You start looking for specific things. You don't just walk through and just look at trees and look at ground. And are you with me? You start looking for something in particular. And it's going to determine what you're going to get out of that trip, what you're going to get out of that deer hunt. Because where you're going to set up, you're going to set that thing up, that deer stand up or that blind or wherever you're going to go, you're going to set up in a place where you have seen evidence of deer coming through. Are you with me? Where they've been rubbing up against rubbing trees and scraping the ground and tracks all over the place. And I mean, you know, you're looking for that though. A lot of people walk through the woods and never see those kinds of things. Why? Because they don't know what they're looking for. They see the trees, they see the ground, they don't see how the ground's messed up under a certain limb, you know, and there's a big scrape there. They don't catch that. And they don't catch the bark being off a little tree there. Hello. Even hogs will rub up against trees and leave mud spots on trees. And you can find signs of a lot of hogs in an area. Hogs, pigs, you know. You might be listening to this up north, and my accent gets a little worse when I talk about hunting. So in life, we'll go through life and never see the fact that God's still around, that He's still working, that there are things that we don't see in the natural. Because we're not looking for them. We're faced with a crisis and we're not looking for what God says about it. Amen? We're not looking for the Word. We're just looking at the things that are seen. Paul's saying, let's read it again. While we do not look at the things which are seen, we turn our gaze, we turn our attention. Oh, it's out there, but we turn away from it to something else. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. I mean, you may be shocked by the bad report. You may be shaken. You may be wavering, or you may quiver, you know, at the pain or at the crisis. But you need to wake up to the real truth of the matter, the real concrete reality, the eternal truth of what God says, and turn your gaze away from that crisis to the promise of the living God. Because that's going to determine the outcome for you. It's going to determine what's going to happen in this situation. What's happening doesn't determine what's going to happen to you. How you look at it is going to determine what's going to happen to you. Woo! So, two ways of looking at things. Turn with me to 1 Samuel This is from here. I think we actually ministered on this not too long ago about David and Goliath. 1 Samuel, Old Testament. This is the story, of course, where Samuel the priest went out to anoint David as king. And classic verse here where he went into 1 Samuel 16 chapter, incidentally. He went into the house of Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons, 7 of which were in the house, and one was still out in the field, and the one out in the field was David. He looked at his sons. He looked at the oldest son, which was Eliab, and he thought, well, this is the Lord's anointed. This is who God's going to make king, because he was the tallest, he was the oldest, he had the appearance of a king. And he was looking at the outside. He was looking at the natural. Y'all see that? So it was, 6 verse, 16th chapter, when they, the sons of Jesse, came, that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. 7th verse, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah, somebody. God does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Wow. You know, I saw a commercial the other day. It was on a Christian network. And it was about, I don't even remember the context of it. I just happened to flip by there, and it was there were Christian videos, I think they were showing, and they showed this clip of a beauty contest, and it was obviously a Christian school, I suppose it was, and they had everybody standing up on the stage, and you know, and they had this young lady come up, and it was a high school beauty contest. This young lady stands up, and second runner-up, you know, and everybody's clapping. They give her some flowers, and she walks off stage. She's just beautiful, you know. And they first runner-up, and then there's another beautiful, beautiful lady gets up. And then they say, the homecoming queen is. And the camera just kind of goes down toward some feet, and you could tell she was, you know, a little overweight. And then it kind of comes up, and it turns out she was a mentally challenged, mentally retarded child. Kind of mongoloid type child, a girl, and real heavy, and she had this dress on, this smile. It was just awesome. And the crowd went wild. She made the homecoming queen. They all elected her homecoming queen. And she got up on the stage. See, and I thought, you know, that's the way God sees us. We make so much of the outside, and God looks at the inside. And she was a beauty in God's eyes. And I guarantee if you ask her parents, she was a beauty too. And obviously those kids had loved on her and had braced her and had encouraged her, you know, and they saw something different in her because they weren't looking like the world looks. In the world, it's all about the outside. That's the way we see people. That's the way we see things. We judge situations according to how much stuff we got, how many things are there, how much money's in the account. And as soon as that's depleted, man, we're pulling our hair out because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to believe, you know. Of course, I know in this church we do because we can look beyond all that. There's two ways of looking at things, and there's two ways of looking at people. Now, you better thank God. God doesn't look at people like you and I do. He sees great value in us because He's looking at the heart. Oh, man, give me someone that's got a good heart. Hello. Let me have a friend that has a loyal, a faithful heart. Amen. Let me have a wife that has a good and a faithful heart. Amen. Get you a husband that's loyal, that's got a good heart. See, that's more important than anything on the outside. We go after the money, and we go after the looks, and we ought to be going after the heart. Amen? So here we see, thank God, God reveals to us that there are two ways of looking at people. And obviously the right way to look at someone is to look at their heart. Hallelujah. Turn over to Mark 6 chapter. That's good stuff. Just little nuggets. I just want nuggets of gold. Gems, pearls of wisdom from the Scripture. Mark the 6th chapter. I believe we can develop our spiritual eyesight. I believe we can start looking a different way. You know, we've been talking about in the past about seeing value in people. Well, that's a good way to see value in people. You got to look beyond the outside of people. even lost people have value if they'll just get to Jesus. You know, I taught on the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15 chapter, how Jesus was making a point that when a sinner comes to Jesus and gets saved, we ought to be rejoicing instead of looking down on them because of their past lifestyle. Now, God doesn't condone wrong lifestyles, but He does rejoice when people with wrong lifestyles repent and come back to Him. Are you with me? Just like a sheep that's lost, they rejoice. A coin that's lost, they rejoice. And when the son, prodigal son, comes home, we throw a party. Hallelujah. Amen. And so what you see in that really, or I saw in that, what came alive to me was that my value, my net worth, as it were, is determined by my proximity to God. The closer I get to God, the more I'm worth. Now, what's wrong with the world? They just need to get to Jesus. And they can get to Jesus, their worth will go up. And yours will too. That's what we ought to see in people, is the value in people is their closeness to God. Now, all we got to do if they've got low value is get them a little closer. Amen. Just like that sheep's no good out there away from the shepherds, just food for the wolf. But you get that sheep in the flock, it has value. That coin, when it's lost over there in the corner somewhere, hiding in the dark, it has no numismatic value. It has no exchange. It has no worth at all. It can't be traded because it's lost. But when you get it in the hands of the woman who lost the coin, all of a sudden it has value. And you and I aren't much worth much either until we get in God's hands. And all of a sudden we have an exchange rate. We have value in God's hands. Isn't that right? But that's seeing differently. That's seeing potential. That's looking with the eye of faith and not looking in the natural. I mean, you look around at people and you think, oh, they're not worth much. Are you kidding? We're all worth the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. We're all worth the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single man, woman, and child. Hallelujah. So, two ways of looking at things, two ways of looking at people. And here in Mark, the 6th chapter, first verse says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, speaking of Jesus. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Wow. Was anything they said there not true as far as the natural? No. Was anything wrong with anything they said there? He was the son of Mary. He was the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. And his sisters were there. That was all true. But see, they never got beyond the natural. They were still looking at the natural. And you know what? They didn't get anything. Happens in church all the time. Happens when people are trying to pray for us and minister to us all the time. Happens when somebody, one of our friends, one of our Christian brothers or sisters, husband or wife, is praying for us, trying to help us, and we're upset, we're mad. We can't see past the issue. We can't see past the anger. We can't see past. So we are offended. We don't get anything because we don't see God in it. Sit in church many times and don't get anything from the pastor because we can't see past something that happened maybe, you know, last week, last year, 15 years ago, whatever. Are you with me? We hear about something somebody did, a minister did, and then for long we won't even listen to the minister. Hello. I'm not saying that, you know, there shouldn't be repercussions. I think ministers ought to step down in certain cases if they get in some certain sin. But isn't it amazing how somebody will get up and all of a sudden their hair is sideways, or, you know, it's flat on one side, or they got some weird looking suit on, or hello. And then we're not even listening to what they're saying. We're not even getting anything out of what they're saying because we're just seeing them in the natural. Or they have a northern accent. You know, I have to say that because we're down south. And we can't get past that. Or hello, are you with me? Or they're older, or they're younger, or they're too heavy, or they're too thin, or too tall, or too short, or come on, their voice is too high or too low. Everything but what matters, we're looking at the natural. Or we know their family, or we knew their daddy. Oh man, his daddy, he's a whole lot better preacher than he was. Hello. Well, he might have been, but that doesn't mean he's not of worth and value. Doesn't mean he hasn't got something to say. Are you listening? And they did the same thing with Jesus. Jesus. You kidding me? Jesus is preaching and they're not getting anything? Oh yeah, it's all through the Bible. Lots of people got mad at Jesus. And these people specifically didn't get something because of the way they looked at him. Wow. Now, do you think Jesus said some good things? You think Jesus did some miracle signs and wonders? Yeah, it says he did. It says mighty works were performed by his hands. But these particular people didn't get anything. So, did their unbelief, their criticism, their wrong view of Jesus change Jesus? No. Did it change what Jesus did? No. But it sure changed what they got, didn't it? Y'all getting this? See, if we don't look right in a situation, if we don't look right when it comes to people, if we don't have the right view, our spiritual eyesight's not developed, even when it comes to Jesus, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out on what God has for us. We can come to church with the wrong view. Service by service, it can change. It can be up and down. We can come hot, we can come cold. We can come ready to get something, then we can come not ready to get something. Hello. We can hear a message, and really, it's the Word of God. It's life-changing stuff, or it's just the same old, same old. Heard that before, read that before. You know, that kind of thing. I'm talking to me, I'm talking to all of us. We have to watch our perspective, because our perspective determines what we get out of this thing. It doesn't change what is. It doesn't change what is in the natural. It doesn't change what is in the spirit, but it sure changes what we get. Woo! Two ways of looking at things, two ways of looking at people, and there's two ways of looking at Jesus. And then, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Is this helping you? Yes. Hallelujah. Hope you're writing all this down, or circling, underlining, highlighting, or committing to memory. 1 Corinthians 15. Some of this I've taught on even in other, you know, we've talked about seeing yourself the way God sees you, seeing value in yourself. On Wednesday nights, we've been teaching on that for quite some time. And just going through case after case, David, Moses, Abraham, Gideon. Y'all remember some of those messages? It wasn't that long ago. Come on. Help me. Yeah. And that was seeing yourself the way God sees you. So that's what that whole thing was about, that whole series is about. Well, this is what this ultimately, naturally would come down to, is looking not at things that are seen, but things that are not seen. Seeing people not as man sees, but the way God sees. Seeing Jesus, not according to his natural birth, but according to his spiritual birth. He was the Son of the living God. He was God in the flesh. As long as we look at him as just a man or just the Son of Mary, as some people today look at him. Some people look at Jesus as a good man. The problem with that is they're never going to get saved that way. They don't get what he has to offer. They're not going to receive what they could receive because they're looking at him wrong. As long as he's just a man, you're going to miss the whole point. You got to see him past that as the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And we can make this mistake about ourselves. Paul does it. He starts out here in the ninth verse, and this I've preached quite a while on this, so I'm not going to spend much time tonight on it. We taught a series on our view of ourselves. But 15th chapter, 9th verse, Paul speaking of himself, he said, I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But he changes his confession. He sees himself now differently. He negates what he just said. That was all true in the natural, but, 10th verse, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So now he says, that's all true in the natural, but I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't see myself that way anymore. I see myself now as being what I am by the grace of God. Y'all see that? So there's two ways of looking at things, two ways of looking at people, two ways of looking at Jesus, and there's two ways of looking at yourself. Come on, somebody. You can just see yourself as everything you ever did in the natural birth, natural actions, even the past sins that you committed, or you can see yourself now as who you are now by the grace of God. You say, what difference does it make? All the difference in the world. It makes a totally different life. Makes for a totally different lifestyle. What you get out of life, what you become, is going to be determined by how you look at yourself, whether you see yourself the way God sees you, or whether you see yourself the way the world sees you, or yourself in the natural. You got to see yourself spiritually. You know, I think it's interesting. Notice 2 Corinthians. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 5. Just connect some of the dots here. Woo! Hallelujah! Man, this is good stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like it. Good stuff. Man, I'm glad I came tonight. I'm going to work this. I'm going to apply this in my life. How about you? Notice what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 5:16. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Wow. So you could just know Him in the flesh, and Paul said, we don't know Him that way. Hey, you could just know each other in the flesh. But you know what Paul's saying? I don't know anybody that way anymore. What? We ought to see each other spiritually. We ought to see Christ spiritually. And we ought to see ourselves spiritually. Next verse, 17th verse. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Woohoo! And behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, this new man, this new creation, this born-again man inside of me who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled. Now, let's go reconcile people. Let's see them the way God saw us. Let's go after them like God went after us. Man, that's better preaching all already a minute. Good stuff. See, turn over to Ephesians 4. Turn over to Ephesians 4. I'm thinking of, I got scripture stacking up. Ephesians 4 chapter. You know what, 1 Corinthians, 2, 9 and 10 says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man. 2 verse 9. The things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. 10th verse says, but God hath revealed them unto us by Spirit. Right? So in the natural we didn't get it, but in the Spirit we do get it. What God has prepared for us, He's not saying God's going to show us when we get to heaven. A lot of people use that verse to say that. You know, one day we get to heaven, we're going to get it all. We're going to see it all. We're going to know it all. Well, I understand we're going to step through a veil and we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now we know in part, then one knows we're known. But the context of 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 is that we don't know things naturally, we know things spiritually. That what God has made available for us, has given to us, we can only know spiritually, we can't know naturally. So we have to look differently. We're going to have to look at this thing from God's perspective to see what God's made available. Open up the I Spy book and find out what to look for and go find it. Amen? So I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For His Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, except or but by the Spirit of God. Isn't that right? Now, don't turn now. I said all that to say this. That 14th verse in that transition, I'm just reading. I read through several verses there. I quoted through several verses. The 14th verse says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. Wow. So as long as we stay in the natural, we'll never know the things of God. In fact, the things of God will be foolishness unto us if we stay in the natural. Oh, you guys believe in miracles and healings. You guys lost it. That's the most foolish thing. I mean, you're over there praying about something, actually think God's going to come down from heaven. And you know, someone that doesn't know these things, It's foolishness to them. All they know is the natural. They think you're being strange and weird and peculiar. And the Bible does say we are a peculiar people. And the Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. And so in that 14th verse, he says the natural man, or natural way of looking at things, or natural way of thinking, the natural man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For they, the things of the Spirit of God, are foolishness unto him, the natural man, the natural way of thinking. Why? Because they, the things of God, are spiritually discerned or understood or found or seen. Oh, we look not to the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Hallelujah, somebody. Man doesn't look like God looks. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Amen? So you can look at things naturally, spiritually. You look at people naturally, spiritually. You look at Jesus naturally or spiritually. Or you can look at yourself naturally or spiritually. I can tell you right off the bat, as you well know, looking spiritually is the way to look. It'll sure change the outcome. Now, y'all found Ephesians 4? Okay. Let's wrap this up. Is this helping you? I'm just connecting the dots. You know, that's what we do. We do. You know, you got pieces of puzzle. We hardly ever use scriptures yet, never heard. You know, I don't sit down in many messages where I hear scriptures I haven't heard. But what happens when I sit down and I hear a message and hear someone anointed and someone preaching the word, all of a sudden the pieces laying out on the table start fitting. You know, you get put puzzles together, you got all these pieces. You got to start putting them together. Oh, you see a piece of it here, and you see a piece of it there, and you see a piece of it there, and a piece of it here. But the more pieces you get together, the more the picture becomes clear. and that's what happens. You know, there's nothing new here. I've heard that scripture. Oh, yeah. And then you start connecting them, and all of a sudden the picture starts coming clearer. Oh, wow, yeah. Because that's what he's saying. That's called context. Are you with me? That's getting it in context, see, the context of the Scripture, contextually preaching. So, Ephesians 4, in context, 20th verse. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him, Ephesians 4, 21, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. I love that, man, that's a mouthful there. You ain't got the whole truth till you get to Jesus. You may think you know everything and seen everything and got it all figured out. But until you get to Jesus, you haven't got the whole truth. The truth's in Jesus. The truth about your situation. The truth about your neighbor. The truth about God. The truth about the world. The truth about the crisis you're facing is in Jesus. The truth's not in the natural. It may be a fact you feel pain, the doctor's giving you a bad report that you've got this disease or not. That may be a fact, but the truth is, by His stripes, you were healed. It may be a fact that you feel weak and incapable of facing this situation, handling this issue. It may be a fact that you're a shell of a man or a woman at this point with all the bad reports and the things that are going on around you. That may be the facts, but the truth is you are more than a conqueror through Him that loved you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and He always causes you to triumph in Christ. That's the truth. And you may have the facts and the natural, but you don't have the truth till you have what Jesus has to say about it. Amen? Indeed. 21st verse. If indeed you have been heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The way you look at things, the way you think about things, the way you see things, be renewed, look differently, think differently when you come into a situation. Don't think the way you used to think. Don't look the way you used to look. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm thinking of Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. If I want to prove God's will, His good, His acceptable, and His perfect will, then I'm going to change my thinking. Yeah. I'm going to have to not be conformed to this world. I'm going to have to renew my mind with the Word of God. And in so doing, I'll begin to prove God's will instead of what's going on out here. Amen. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, the old clothes, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. See yourself differently. You are what you are by the grace of God. Amen. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen, you can live holy. You really, really can. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to sin. You don't have to be worldly to reach the world. In fact, that's not going to reach the world. That's becoming the world. A lot of churches are just getting so worldly. They're trying to be cool, and they're just being a fool. Really, I mean, they're trying to be slick and cool and worldly. Listen, I'm all about reaching the world. I'm all about accepting and welcoming the lost people into the church so they can be saved and repent and turn around. But I'm not about sinning to do it. I'm not about being lewd to do it. Lewd, crude, and rude. Are you kidding? That's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm a whole new person now. I'm not that person anymore. The Bible says, be ye separate. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So that's not a hellfire brimstone preaching. That's just looking at yourself from God's perspective and living that kind of life now. You can do it, hallelujah. And the world can if they'll get saved. If they'll come to Jesus, they can come out of their sin. So we welcome them. We love them. We're not against them. But we're not going to become worldly to reach them. Now, we don't want to do that. That's, I mean, when you catch fish and you're in a boat, you throw a net out. You don't put the water in the boat. Sink your boat. Get too much water in that boat, you sink that boat. So the last thing we want to do is get the world in the church so we can reach the world. Are you kidding? No, we're going to throw our net out. We want to keep the water out of the boat. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Well, that's just the way I am. No, see, the problem is you don't see yourself right. You're looking in the natural. You're looking at yourself and from the world's perspective, hello, and you need to be looking at yourself from God's perspective. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man. Hallelujah, somebody. Which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Man, I love that. So if you go down the list of things there, just to be redundant and repetitive, because that's what I am. That's how we learn things, amen? Look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That's it. What you're going through is a temporary thing. Okay, it's not eternal. It'll pass. The things which are not seen, they are eternal. Don't look at things in the natural. Look at things spiritually in the spirit. Look at people spiritually in the spirit. Don't know them after the flesh. Know them after the spirit. God doesn't see as man sees. Man looks on the outward. God looks on the heart. Let's get down to the heart of the matter. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the report is. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what my eyes are telling me. What I want to know is what's behind it. What's the heart of the matter here? What's the truth of the matter? Truth's in Jesus. Amen. And we come to God, we look at God, look at Jesus. Obviously, we have to look at Him spiritually, not naturally. You can't. There's a lot we know about Him historically, naturally. But see, He's more than that. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, full of grace and full of truth. Full of truth, I love that. And then let's don't see ourselves that way either. This will change everything. And when you start seeing yourself correctly, put that on. Oh, I'm a new creature. Well, walk like one. Amen? Oh, I've been made holy. Well, live holy. Oh, I'm full of love. Well, go love people. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? Hallelujah. So it's developing your spiritual eyesight. It's two ways of looking at things, or two things to be looking at, whichever sounds right. Look at the wrong, look at the right, or look the right way, or look the wrong way. Either one will work. Two ways of looking at things, or two things to be looking at. Let's look at the right thing, let's look the right way. Amen? Yeah.